Now, just a quick glance again at verse 14, where Paul writes, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The earnest of our inheritance, that is the embodiment, the substance of our inheritance, the content of our inheritance. Our inheritance is assured in Christ Jesus. It's not just a hope, as in a wish. When we say we hope for something, it's wishful thinking. In today's world, when we say we hope for something, we might say, oh, I hope I can get a new house, or I hope I can get a new car. That is wishful thinking. We have no idea if we can or not. That's just a wish we have in our mind or in our heart. But when we have the earnest hope of our promises in Christ Jesus, those are promises that in Christ's mind are already fulfilled. He's already given us that promise, and so it's done. As we say, it's a done deal. There are no ifs. It has already happened. We're just waiting for the fulfillment. And that's a beautiful thing right there, because Christ never breaks a promise. God never breaks a promise. He never has. Man is a truce breaker. Man will break covenants. God never breaks covenants. He never has, and he never will. So he is earnest, and embodied in him and in that seal between him and us, which is the Holy Spirit, is the earnest of our inheritance, the assurance of our inheritance, the very material, the very substance of our inheritance. That is the embodiment. That's the substance of his grace towards us. Now, continuing in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, Paul now speaking to those to whom he's writing this letter, wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Now, this is the second time he's mentioned saints. And saints simply means individuals who are set aside for a purpose. Anytime you hear the word saint, simply think Christian. It does not mean someone who has died for the faith. It does not mean someone who has performed miracles before and after their death. It does not mean someone who some kind of church organization has set up on a pedestal, carved a statue for. It doesn't mean any of that. It simply means someone who is holy, someone who is obedient to God, someone who has accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. That's simply all it means. So when you see the word saint, simply think Christian, because that's exactly what it means. Okay, continuing. Verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul is always praying for those whom he serves and whom he teaches and whom he ministers unto. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, there's glory again, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Here, Paul is offering a prayer and an exhortation that the individuals to whom he's writing, and the reason I say that is because the church at Ephesus is not specifically mentioned. We talked about this in the intro to this, to the prison epistles. And so we don't know for certain that this was written to the church at Ephesus, although there's a lot of evidence here that would indicate as such. But the audience to whom he's writing here, he's praying that they understand that through the resurrection of Christ Jesus, God the Father has already illustrated that he has the power to fulfill his promise that the riches of their inheritance will be granted, that those promises will be fulfilled according to his word. He truly is God because he is indeed able to resurrect the dead. And of course, Christ Jesus said while on the earth, I not only have power to lay down my life, but I have the power to take it up again. He proclaimed himself to be able to lay down his life and after 3 days, take it up again. He said that he was going unto his Father, and he did just that. He told us all of the things that would take place during his lifetime, and all of those things took place up to and including his ascension into heaven, so that we would be able to believe all of the promises he made subsequent to those events, that he would return in like manner as he came, that he would take us that where he is, that we will be also, that the place that he is preparing for us, we will be able to go and enjoy one day. All of these promises we know he will fulfill, because he has prophesied and fulfilled every promise concerning himself up to that point, whether natural or supernatural. And verses 22 and 23 just perfectly wrap this entire chapter up. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet, that is, the Father has put all things under the power of Christ Jesus. Psalm chapter 2 is a very good place to look at this, by the way, especially the second half of that psalm. Put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The word things is actually added in there by the authors, by the translators at a later time. So if we actually read that, if we actually read verse 22 and take out all of the italicized words which were added by the translators later, we actually read it as follows, and hath put all under his feet and gave him the head over all to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, to the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That is, the church begins with Christ, ends with Christ, and is Christ. So when we accept Christ, we are in Christ. I believe the expression in the King James Version of the Bible, the expression in Christ, appears in the New Testament at least 81 times. It's a very important expression because we are not just with Christ. We are not just near Christ. We are not just beside Christ. We are not just ministers of Christ or ambassadors for Christ, although all of these things are true, but we are in Christ. Think of it this way. Think of a house. If you are next to the house and it's raining, if the rain's driving from one side and you get on the other side of the house, you're safe. But if the wind is swirling, you're not safe all the time. If you are near the house and the sun is hot and it's baking, then the house isn't helping you very much. But if you're in the house, then whether it's hot and sunny, or whether it's driving rain, or whether it's windy, or whether it's cold, you're always protected. And that's the idea of being in Christ. When you are in Christ, you are in the same state and you are in the same condition as Christ. And also, watch this. When God sees you, even though you are an unrighteous sinner with a sin-darkened heart, and that's your nature as a human being. That's all of our nature. Your nature, my nature, everybody's nature. If you don't believe me, read Jeremiah 17, 9, and 10. That's a good place to start. Several places in Romans as well. We learn that there's nobody that does good. Everybody has evil in their heart. That's why we need Christ. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit indwelling us to help keep us on the right track. Even our best is still filthy rags before God's sight. That's what he told Isaiah. But the beautiful thing is, if we are in Christ, like a man inside of a house, when somebody looks at the house, when somebody looks at you and you're inside the house, what do they see? They see the house. When somebody looks at you and you're in Christ, when God the Father looks at you and you're in Christ, God the Father sees Christ. Now that is your blessing. That is your grace. God the Father sees not you. He sees His dear Son, Christ, who has covered you. He's covered you with His precious blood. And you're in Christ. And you're saved. And you get to spend eternity with Him, walking in His will and in His love and in His grace.